Hello everyone, and welcome to Comfy Club, an excuse for two best friends to talk about video games. Today we're going to talk about Planet Zoo.
Yeah, we are. We've been playing this game all week now because of this, and it's going to be hard to stop, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll get into it. I briefly mentioned this in our first episode when I talked about my all-time faves, and that Zoo Tycoon 2 is superior in my mind to this game.
Yeah.
But I just want to be good at this game so badly.
And I'm not good at it.
It's so hard.
It really is. And that is like my number one complaint about this game is there is so much going on in it and trying to manage everything that's going on in this zoo, you know? And then if it was just so focused on the management, then that'd be cool, you know? But it also gives you so much customization potential for your habitats and your buildings and all that stuff that is so difficult. Like, in my opinion, I don't think that you can be really successful in both places without just kind of like ignoring one or the other for a large period of time, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible what people can do with this game, like build wise.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
It's part of it is like there is so much room to customize, and you can literally like fine tune just like click and drag and rotate and like such minute details that you can really get lost in it. Mm-hmm. I was playing yesterday and I decided to start a new zoo from scratch, and I like to make the staff buildings like look nice. And I was like, well, I'm going to build them instead of just using the prefab ones, which are already so freaking cute, by the way, you know, the ones that are in the game. I probably spent an hour just like decorating these buildings, and then I realized that I was missing two super important buildings. I was missing a keeper hut and a trade place to bring the animals into. I had forgot to put those buildings down, and so I was like, I just spent an hour doing these other buildings. I'm just gonna buy the little prefab ones, and they looked so much better than what I had just spent an hour building. And I was like, is it even worth it?
I know. So do you play in sandbox mode mostly or franchise?
I'm doing franchise right now just because I spent a lot of time on my first franchise zoo that it's very easy to do a second or third location because I have so many conservation points and research already done and like all of that kind of stuff that I'm not trying to balance making a successful zoo as much as I am just trying to, like, build something good for me, you know?
Yeah, so franchise mode lets you build whatever you want, but you do have X amount of funds, and then along with money that, you know, just normal revenue that your zoo generates, you also have conservation points, and you earn those by trading or releasing animals to the wild. And then you can use those points to purchase other animals. And then they also have sandbox mode, you know, unlimited points, unlimited money, build whatever you want. And then they have challenge mode, which has like different scenarios.
I feel like I don't do a lot of challenges because
it's challenging enough.
It's hard. Franchise.
And then they have like the campaign, like story ones, which are really fun, and you definitely need to do those first. I like franchise.
Helps you learn how to play the game
for sure, but I like franchise the most because sandbox is nice for like if you're picking up the game after a while and you just need to kind of remember how to do things. But I like the actual challenge of, oh, well, I can't go bankrupt and I need that.
Well, and that's why I say, like, in franchise mode, if you can get one successful franchise location going, then any other additional franchises are really easy because I don't have to buy animals with money. I'm buying them with conservation points. And when I started my third franchise location the other day, I had over 7,000 conservation points.
Dang.
Yeah, because my first zoo that I had built, I had just a ton of animals. Like, I spent a ton of time in this one zoo, you know, trying to build something really good with a lot of different animal varieties and, you know, just racked up those conservation points. Because, so to get into, like, this is kind of a con for me. And I think in the settings you can control this, but I just have not gone in and adjusted this, I guess. The animal breeding and management of the animal numbers in the game
is a full-time insane. Job.
It's insane. I don't know why I do this. I forget this every time, but do not, if you don't want to manage animal populations 24/7 in this game, don't get freaking birds. Don't get flamingos.
Ostriches.
Yeah. Don't get any birds because those things are insane. I will do one thing. I will just spend 10 minutes doing something else, and I look over, and I have 70 peacocks now. And I'm like, get out of here. Get away. Like, yeah. Leave this place, you know? And, like, flamingos, the same thing. And it just is, like, it's crazy. But the good thing about that is it makes it pretty easy to keep up with your conservation points because you just release them to the wild and you get a couple hundred every time. But, like, yeah, it is very easy for like your animal health to go down because it's overcrowded or there's infighting or like just trying to manage animal populations is wild in this game. And I think it is a setting. I don't really get into the settings too much because I'm like weirdly kind of like a traditionalist when it comes to playing games. Like I just want to play it with the normal settings. I want to play the game like as intended. And like if that may be a setting now that I've like gotten into the game that I will adjust where they just like don't breed as often because that's it's insane. It's wild.
Well, you know? When you're looking at the individual animal, you can put them on birth control.
Yes. Basically. That's what I just did with my peacocks is I put all of them on birth control because I just was like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, I just got to a point last night with my ostriches and my warthogs where I was like, I'm tired of you crazies inbreeding.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't get over there quick enough to stop it. And so I'm like, you know, we're getting rid of a bunch of y'all and you're like going on birth control. You heathens. Yeah,
I don't even, when that notification pops up, this is terrible. I just close it. I'm like, I can't be managing this. There's too many of you. Mm-hmm. I can't.
No.
Well, I don't care.
I pause the game. I go over there. I box them both up. And I ship them both out. I'm like, you're gone. You're out of here.
That's hilarious. Yeah, no. That doesn't even... I don't care. Yeah. They're digital animals. I don't care.
Yeah, I think I have... And after we just said that, I have four exhibits... four habitats in my zoo right now that I'm working on. And I have flamingos, peacocks, ostriches, and then I have warthogs, zebras, and giraffes, and you know. And you can have multiple animals and enclosures, which is really cool. But then I have four...
You are constantly trading animals. You're constantly releasing birds into the wild.
Constantly. Especially my exhibit animals. So you can build these great habitats for these huge animals. And then I love they have these little exhibits where you have like your snakes and your frogs, insects, that kind of stuff. Oh, man, you talk about population management because these freaking frogs, they have a baby, which makes like 8 new frogs. And then they're like, oh, there's too many frogs in here. So then, I would say that's where a lot of my revenue comes from, selling frogs. I'm a frog breeder now.
Yeah. I wish that there was, and maybe there is, maybe I just have not found this setting because I feel like this would have to be something that they put in the game, right? But I just feel like it would be so much better if they had a way to limit the number of animals that you have of a certain type. Like, I could just automatically set the game up to say, I only ever want 12 peacocks. And once I hit 12, then they're all on birth control. They just, like, stop having babies, you know? Like,
yeah.
And then if one of them dies, then one of them can have a baby. Or, you know, they just, like, if there are too many, it automatically trades them out of the zoo or something. Like, I don't even care. I wouldn't even care if I got money or conservation points for it. Just get rid of them. Just get them out of here. Somebody take these. Free puppies. Off like, get them out of here. Yeah, like.
That's the management part of the game, Mackenzie.
Well, you say that, but, like, then there's also, there are so many, and this is something I do like, where the game focuses some of the management aspects, but there are so many different happiness levels that you have to manage, because you obviously have to manage the animals. So that is something I obviously really, really like. I love the focus on animal enrichment and their environment being engaging and, like, suitable for them, like their habitats. I love that aspect of the game. And then there's also staff happiness, which I do appreciate, but I think you can turn that off. I think that's a setting you can turn off. And I think also animal happiness too. I think these are all settings you can turn off. But staff happiness and efficiency and whether or not they're overworked, that's something that you have to manage. Their training, their pay, like, you have to manage all of that. And then you also have to manage, obviously, guest happiness. Because if your guests are not happy, then they're destroying your freaking park and not coming to your park, you know?
Yeah.
So there's just a lot that you have to keep up with and balance. And in my opinion, I think that guest happiness is the easiest to manage, because once you kind of figure out the flow of, like, how many different types of animals, the correct prices for things, and then, like, how frequently you need food, beverage, and bathrooms, basically, and, like, places for them to sit. Once you kind of get that figured out, I feel like guest happiness is super easy to manage. And then dealing with the animals is the most intensive part.
Yeah, honestly, I don't struggle with the management part of this game at all. Like, my zoo's profiting, you know, $250,000 and people are happy, but I only have four exhibits. The hardest part of this game for me is the building. And it's such a struggle bus for me.
Yeah. I just made a Bornean orangutan exhibit.
Fancy.
And I was looking at, because, you know, you want to make sure they're using the right barriers for everything. Mm-hmm. And I saw that you can have, you know, this type of fence, or you can have a moat, basically, because they can't swim. Which is so weird to me that a lot of monkeys cannot swim and a lot of primates can't swim.
That's
so interesting to me. Yeah. Which I guess, like, people can't really swim unless you teach them how.
So, oh, that's
like,
true.
I'm sure you could teach apes to swim, but, like, it's always so weird to me because I'm like, people can swim. Yeah, people can fly airplanes
out of
too,
the womb.
But, like, you know? So I made this enclosure that was, it just was a moat. And then, but this is, like, the other thing too, is that then you have to figure out how to manage, like, the rest of it. So, because I'm like, okay, well, a keeper has to be able to get over there.
Yep.
And now, orangutans can't swim, but they can use a bridge. They can use a bridge.
Right.
So
they can have to walk. Figure out,
they can walk on solid surfaces. Crazy. So I had to make a part of it where there was a staff bridge with a gate. And so there's just one corner that has this super tall glass barrier because I didn't want to, like, obstruct the view and, like, destroy kind of, like, the aesthetic. So I have this, like, glass barrier that goes across and then, like, into the water. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it is just, like, the barrier to, like, indicate that it's an exhibit. It's that invisible barrier. And that was another thing that I had to adjust because I was an idiot when I was doing this. And I just did the barrier on top of the island that I made, except I didn't get it, like, I don't know, it was, like, on the edge, but there are some places where it wasn't, like, quite as far out as it needed to be. So I kept getting notifications, dangerous animal has escaped its enclosure. And it's because one of the orangutans is sitting, like, half a foot outside of the barrier.
Yeah.
That is an arbitrary barrier, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. Then you could also play around with underground paths. So you could have had some sort of crazy underground entrance for your staff members. And yeah. I can't get a freaking path. Just the thing, the pathing.
Is the worst part of this game by far. Easily. I hate it. It's miserable.
I just want an area. Just a big area for me to put picnic benches. Why is that so difficult?
Do you use the grid thing? Because that's what I use all the time. I use grid thing. But then the hard part is you put a grid somewhere, and then you have to connect it up somewhere.
And then it's like, oh. Like,
path obstructed, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's the worst.
And then talking about, like, building exhibits and trying to, like, customize the habitats. And I want to specify, too, we keep using these words interchangeably in the game. They're different things. An exhibit is a building that has the little small creatures, like, basically tank animals. And then a habitat is for land animals or aquatic animals, but, like, big ones, you know. But you can download habitats that people have built. And I have a couple because I was, like, I'm so tired of, like, struggling to build these, like, really cool habitats and stuff like that. That's so I have smart. A couple that I downloaded. Except for them to be completed and to upload to the workshop, I think they have to have a staff exit or entrance, which it is so difficult to place the exhibit near anything. And then with the terrain modifications it needs to make and, like, the path, it is, like, it is so difficult. I should just be able to, like, put it there and set it on the ground. Like, I just should be able to do that. And it is so difficult to get it to work right. And that it's, like, almost not worth it sometimes. But I just have to, like, do a bunch of extra work to get it to work right, you know?
Yeah, I commend you on building a moat because the terrain tools, it's another thing. They're really difficult.
You say I commend you for making the moat. This is how I made the moat. I, like, was trying to do it with, like, the normal push terrain.
Yeah. Tool.
And then I was like, well, I don't know how deep this is. I don't know how wide this is. Like, because first of all, I feel like it doesn't give me the measurements actively. I don't know. I couldn't figure out how deep or wide it was. And I was like, I hope this is it because I'm going to put these orangutans in there and hope that's it. And so I then just used the flatten to foundation terrain tool and just did it there and then just did it all the way around and it just flattened that. And then talking about this, you know, something I try to do a little bit more frequently is use varying terrain heights, you know, to make it a little bit more interesting. Completely forgot to do that in this exhibit. So it's just literally a flat ass island just in the middle of a moat with some trees on it. And I was like, yeah, and this is what they get, I guess.
I like to use the rocks as, like, my barriers for, like the back section. So then instead of it just being this circle with a fence around it, it's like, ooh, this rocky backdrop for these African animals.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. So for my warthogs, my ostriches, I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to make for their hard shelter, so, like, where they sleep and stuff, I'm going to make that, like, this little rock cave. And then next to that, I'll have this waterfall with this little river for them to drink out of.
I already see the 3 hours you spent frustratingly pushing the wrong terrain, and the water didn't look right. And
when the water didn't look right, it was literally a hill with a tiny-ass puddle on top of it. It looks so bad. And then I was like, well, maybe if I, like, build this into the hard shelter, that'll look cool. And so then they were jumping up on the hill, and then now they're just running around on top of their little rock cave. And then that was too close to my barrier at first. So then they hopped from the rock cave on top of the rocks in the barrier, and then they all escaped. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What are warthogs and ostriches doing hopping around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just so hard.
Yeah, it is. It is a struggle to create engaging habitats that, like, we think are interesting. Because I think the game, like, you can make pretty boring habitats that, like, meet the criteria.
And your guests won't. you know,
yeah,
the PCs that are walking around, to them, this extravagant thing that looks cool to your eyes is the same as this boring little one where the animals are happy. So they think it's cool. Cool. I can see them. Cool. They're happy.
Yeah. And animals have different requirements for like land space, water space, climbable space, but like different terrain, like it doesn't make that much of a difference, you know, like if there's varying terrain heights outside of if it's also part of some climbable structure, you know. And so a lot of that is just like for us, the player, aesthetically, but it is very frustrating to like spend so much time and still struggle so much with it. And I think that goes back to something that we say with a lot of games. And I think we have a similar complaint with a lot of games like this, where it's too much stuff, or it's, I guess not too much, but it's like so much stuff that you just have to have all these extra ways to deal with it that just make it that much more difficult to use. You know, like with the building customization, there are so many different types of building materials, and you can literally like turn them on all different planes. You can adjust them on every plane, like so much customization. But with that also comes the fact that like, if you want to build something, you have to manage all of those ways to engage with it. You know, you have to be turning it and adjusting it. And they do have some tools that like snap it to surfaces and like a couple of things like that. But sometimes it doesn't snap right. And so you still have to go into that advanced move menu and like do that and make sure all of that is lined up correctly. And yeah, the more things that you can do, the more you have to do to do them.
Yeah.
You know, right. And it's just, it's a lot to struggle with when you're trying to build something really cool looking, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely something you have to approach kind of in chunks and then just get more and more comfortable with the controls. And like last night, mm-hmm. I was just starting to get to where, because I see these people build these crazy like dome buildings, whatever. And the trick to that is you make this one chunk of your barrier, your building or whatever, and then you multi-select all of the components that are in that chunk, and then you just duplicate it. And then you rotate, you know. So there, that's why I keep playing it. It's like, because I know I can be good at it.
I want to get better. Yeah.
Yeah. All the pieces are there. Literally every tiny little single piece is there. And yeah, it's just, but then you spend 4 hours making this building. It doesn't even turn out good. And then like, well, now I need to go actually manage my zoo.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to pause it.
You spend an hour building all of these staff buildings, and then you go to get animals, and surprise, you didn't even build two of the buildings you need to get animals.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I feel you.
Yeah. And now you're on money, so boom, start over.
I know, yeah. And that's the other thing, like, managing the money, I think, is pretty easy, because once you get to a point where you are bringing in enough customers and your zoo is priced well enough, it's pretty easy to make money. And I will say, one of the notifications I love that they put this in the game, is there is a like an urgent alert for when guests think that your tickets are underpriced. And also if they think that they're overpriced, but the fact that it tells you like you can charge more for your tickets and people will pay for that, you know, like I love that notification, because that is like a weight off of my shoulders where I'm not trying to like guess if I adjust the price, is it going to do anything? Like, can I make more money? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I do really love like some of the notifications. And I did actually go through the notification settings, because this is another big complaint I have. They need more notification settings. I don't need a notification when I trade an animal out of the zoo, because you know what that means? When I trade 45 peacocks out of my zoo, it queues them up and it has to do them individually. So I'm just getting a little notification every time 45 peacocks get traded out of my zoo. And I'm like, I don't care about that.
You've got some,
I know,
popular
they're
cops.
Getting traded out of the, it's like, I know they're getting traded out because I told the game to do that.
Yeah.
Stop telling me. I'm assuming that that's taken care of. Like, I don't need a notification.
Well, not necessarily, because those are real people that are buying those animals.
True. So, but you know what? I also don't care.
I know, but like for me, I like that notification because I'm like trying to control these freaking ostriches you want to inbreed. And then, so I send them all to the trade center and then they've been there for like 30 minutes and it's an hour timer that your animal has to sell by. And you can just relist it, whatever. But it's nice for me to see that, be like, oh, thank God. Another one gone.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, I think the first time I traded a bunch of peacocks, I think I did do that. Just sent them to the trade center to list on the market. And then after that, I just started releasing them to the wild.
Yeah.
Because I just was like,
no, well, you have enough conservation points, doesn't matter. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you get conservation points when you release them to the wild.
Yeah, really just nice. Not as many as when you trade them, so.
But yeah. So one of the things, though, with animal trading and, you know, like, breeding and all that kind of stuff that I do really, really love about this game is the genetic modifications on animals. Yeah. So there are a lot of albinistic animals that you can get. So that's what I have right now in my zoo. I have all white peacocks, which is really cool. Yeah. Fancy. And then in my second franchise, I was doing all white lions. So lions, were albinistic, which is really, really cool. So I think that's really fun that they, like, have that kind of stuff. And then with animals that have, like, large patterns, so, like, hippos have different spots. I don't know if giraffes have this, but there's, like, another type of animal, I think. I don't think it's, like, a zebra. Do zebras have, like, pattern recognition? I say recognition, but,
I think they have, like, you know, the more brownish stripes than...
Yes.
Yeah, and then with the giraffes, you can get more of the like, pinky instead of the brown spots.
Yeah. So I think that's really cool that they have different...
The wolves have a lot of cool different variations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to say, like, the saltwater crocodiles, very similar to the hippos, have, like, large pattern variation. But I think that's really cool that you can, like, control part of the genetics of your animals through selective breeding like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I get a normal peacock, I'm like, get out of here. Well, I want your kind.
Wow, racist. But part of what goes on with that is different animals have, you know, different appeal. So a lion attracts a lot more guests than a peacock.
Yep.
And an albino lion attracts more guests than just a normal lion. So that's where that also will come into play. But man, I guess I play this game like I do a lot of other games where I'm just like constantly starting over. I never really get to the point where I have lions and tigers and bears. And I have a lot of just zoos that have started up, have like five different exhibits. And I'm like, oh, this isn't turning out how I want it. I'm starting over.
Yeah, well, and that's where I think the biggest challenge of playing in like a free play mode comes from with these zoos is because it takes so long to build a habitat and to make sure that that area is ready to accept guests. Because, you know, with any type of game where you're like building a location, traffic management is always going to be a thing. So making sure that like the front of your zoo, people can get in and get to where they're going and like sidewalks are not getting clogged up and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And trying to keep getting more animals while you're still trying to manage everything else is so difficult. You know, like I was getting frustrated the other day. I only have three animals. I have bonobos, I have peacocks, and I have the Bornean orangutan. And I just was like, I'm exhausted from building habitats and freaking sidewalks and like all of that kind of stuff that I just was like, you know, we're just going to stick with these animals for now, you know. And back to the pathing and how difficult the pathing is. You can't, unless I'm totally missing it, because I feel like you can do this in Planet Coaster, maybe? Or maybe I'm thinking of a totally different game. But you cannot just expand the width of a path in this game.
No, you have to delete it and rebuild it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is super annoying. I like where my path is. There's enough space. Let me just make it wider, you know, instead of having to delete it and then replace the whole thing. And
yeah. Well, yeah. Same thing with barriers. Like, I had these aardvarks, and aardvarks are shy. So the people looking at them, it stresses them out. Mm-hmm. And so once I researched, because in the franchise mode, you don't start out with just like every blueprint, we'll say. You have to research things in order to unlock them. And so I hadn't unlocked the
one-way glass.
Yeah. And so once I finally did, I was like, cool, I'm going to go change all this fencing. You can't just click on a chunk of fence and change it. You have to delete it.
You can click on it and then drag the like side arrows to select a section. And then you have to go into the advanced barrier thing editor to make it glass and make it one-way glass.
That's right. Yep. That's right. But when I did that, the glass was the wrong way.
You can switch it. You can switch it.
Because
it's directly underneath that, but you have to scroll.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many little, like, settings for everything.
And, yes. Yeah. And one of the other things that is very similar is you can make a typically climbable fence unclimbable. You can put, like, a thing on the top of it, but you also have to control which side that is on. Mm-hmm. And to me, I wish that I guess it wouldn't work if it was, like, a barrier that split two habitats. Because I had one on, like, a tiger or snow leopard exhibit or something, and there were some that were on the wrong side, and I noticed that, and I was like, I don't think that's going to stop this tiger from escaping, so let's make sure it's on the right side. And I just wish, like, it recognized what was the inside of the habitat versus the outside, you know? So, but you can control what direction the one-way glass is, what direction the non-climbable section is. Something I did have a lot of trouble with the other day was adjusting the heights of the fence, because I just wanted to snap everything to one height, and I couldn't find a way to do that. Like, I'm like, can I just make everything 2 meters tall? The whole thing, you know? And if the fence is already, like, a different height in some place, you can't just, like, level it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you click and drag and adjust it, it adjusted exactly where it is already. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Which I get, but it just was like, I was really struggling. We struggle with building in this game, obviously.
So much. Like, and I was trying to think of, like, what game there is where I can just, like, basically paint, you know, the paths. And I guess I was thinking of Sims. And yeah. Sometimes I wish the building was a bit more just, like, a little bit easy, more intuitive. Sims. Yeah. And I understand why it's not. Because in order to do the crazy detailed things that you can do, you have to have all these mechanisms. And, you know, they obviously have to worry about, well, the people know that they can walk these places because the paths are like that and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just... This is why I like Zoo Tycoon 2.
Yeah.
So it's much more like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's settings for everything. What quality food each animal's eating. If, you know, if they can breed or not. If they get bored of their enrichment items, so you can't just, like, give them all the enrichment that that type of species can have, because you're like, well, they're going to get bored of that, and then you're kind of screwed. So you just cut it. Gradually introduce the enrichment items.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Yeah. And I really enjoy the animal-specific management and getting the percentage of dirt with short grass and all that just right. But yeah, it's just making everything look pretty to us, our human eyes.
It's just hard. Well, and especially because, like, something I do love about this game is their emphasis on conservation, education, and research. You know, so something that really impacts guest happiness, and you have like an inspector that comes and inspects your zoo and gives you a rating, education is very, very important for all of that. So making sure that there are, you know, like speakers that tell you about the animals, there are screens that tell you about the animals. I say they just had a update that added a lot of things for that. I hadn't played this game in probably over a year.
Yeah, same.
You know, but they, since the last time I played, they added an update that added tour spots. So you can have like a little tour with different tour points, which was really cool. An additional like screens for things.
Yeah. They're an actual educator as a new staff member type.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have these little, like, seatings.
Oh, the
like
little bleachers. Speaking zones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I put one of those in my peacock exhibit.
I put one above in my little viewing area for the giraffes and zebras. Yeah.
See, I wanted to put one that looked at my orangutan exhibit, but I guess they have to be able to feed the animals for it to work. Because mine kept saying that no feedable animal. So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I saw the feeding thing on there. I just know it has to be, like, within X amount of meters of the animal. And
But yeah, so they put a lot of emphasis on education and conservation, which is obviously why you get conservation points, why releasing animals to the wild is so important, trading animals between zoos. And then they have these little, like, standalone like conservation specific education screens that I really like that talk about, you know, you can change what specifically they talk about, but they talk about like deforestation, the dangers of keeping exotic pets and
ecotourism.
You
know,
like, yeah, like you can set them up to do different things, which is really, really cool. So I do love that the game like leans so heavily into like the real life benefits of accredited zoos.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Yeah. And the animals.
Yes.
They're really
cute. And this game has a first-person zookeeper mode, right?
Yeah.
Which I never use because it is it's too stressful for me. There's a lot.
You got too much else going on.
Yeah. You can go into first-person and manually, like, clean the habitats and feed the animals and, like, pick up trash and do all of that kind of stuff, which sounds really fun. And it was really fun when I first played the game. And I had one animal, you know, at a tiny zoo. But now that I'm like, we've got to get more animals. We've got to do this, that, and the other. It's like,
can you do that in this one?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Because I know you could do that in Zoo Tycoon 2, but
maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Because you can enter, like, cinematic mode. Like, you can click on a keeper and basically, like, look through their eyes. Essentially.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah, I think you're thinking about Zoo Tycoon 2. It's just one of the reasons. It's a great game. Because that is definitely something you could do in that game.
Yeah, you are so right. Why was I feel like I played something more recently than Zoo Tycoon 2 that had that, but I guess not.
Was it your Jurassic Park game?
That is it. Yeah. Because I can't do that. Because, man, that game, we'll have to do an episode about that game. But that game really wants you to play in first person a lot. More than a management game should, in my opinion.
I don't want to get eaten by a dinosaur, though.
It's not even that. This is just a little sidebar about the Jurassic Park game. The major part of it that is first person is when you are capturing a dinosaur or you need to, like, help it, like, you need to put it to sleep in order to, like, take it to the vet or something, you know, you need to tranquilize or dart it. It wants you to be in a helicopter and you shoot the tranquilizer dart. I'm sorry, I'm playing a zoo management game here. I did not come to play a literal airborne first-person shooter game. Yeah, what is this? No, I'm thanks. Not playing Big Game Hunter here. I'm playing a zoo management game. It's wild. When they introduced that part of the game in, like, the little campaign mode, I was like, you want me to do...
Huh?
What? I'm sorry. I have to drive the helicopter with one thing and then aim and shoot with my mouse. Really? And the animal is moving.
Oh my gosh.
What? Yeah. No, it was a whole... That part of the campaign took me way longer than it should have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's intense.
And the hard part is, like, with a lot of things that have a first-person mode like that, the you can just click on something and make it make, you know, the game do it itself, but it's never as reliable as when you do it yourself, is what I've found.
Right.
And so it's just very annoying that sometimes I feel like, I'm like, well, these pteranodons escaped. I guess I have to fly a helicopter and shoot them. It's wild.
That is pretty wild. Yeah, no, this game, it has where you can, like, it has all these different camera modes, you know, so you, you can be, like, you're walking around in your zoo or in the habitat, but, yeah, there isn't, like, where you, as a person, can actually do something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be really nice. I would really enjoy that, but.
Yeah. Maybe I am thinking of Zoo Tycoon.
Because, yeah, that bothers me a lot when there's, like, poo. In the, I was like, I can just go pick that up. Why can't I just, like, click on it and delete it? I could do that in Zoo Tycoon too, but, Now I gotta call a keeper. And I'm like, keeper, what were you doing? And he's like, oh, I was researching. I was like, that's not as important. Research is what you do when you have free time.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the other things that I've really struggled with in Zoo Tycoon is staff member accessibility.
Planet Zoo.
So... Oh, sorry. Yeah, Planet Zoo. This game that we're talking about.
Yeah.
With, especially primates, is they have an arboreal feeding platform that's like a platform you can attach to a climbing structure, a tree, a building, like all that kind of stuff. I don't think I have ever placed one of those. And that wasn't literally on the ground. Just literally on the ground that a keeper has been able to access.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Like, and that's what's really frustrating is that a lot of times I feel like the things that could make the game really cool are too difficult to use sometimes, you know?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Especially when the keepers, they all have, you know, low workload. You know, I've got the keeper station right next to the habitat. I've made a work zone. So you can set up work zones, be like, you only work in this little area. Like, this is your habitat. This is your keeper hut. That's all you need. Here's your staff room.
Right there.
You're just right here. Why is this feeder empty ever?
Yeah.
Why?
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And then speaking of work zones, too, this is something I was getting really frustrated with, is it's not as easy to manage the whole zoo from both directions as it should be. So, like, to add something to a work zone, unless I'm totally missing it, but I feel like I am, like, it should be right here. If you click on a building or a habitat or anything like that, and it says, like, this isn't in a work zone, I should be able to just click right there and add it to the work zone that I want it to be in. But instead, I have to go into my zoo menu, I have to go into the staff menu, I have to go into the work zone section of that, and then I have to add buildings to the work zone.
Yeah.
And the same thing with staff members. You can't just, like, click on a staff member and say, cool, you're assigned to this work zone. You have to go into the zoo menu, into the staff menu, and then assign them to the work zone. And I just feel like I would rather only be able to do it from the other direction. I would rather be able to just click on a building and assign it to a work zone than have to go the opposite direction. You know?
Right. Yeah. Do you use work zones a lot?
Yes. Mostly because I overhire for everything, specifically for, like, this keeper issue that you're talking about. I always have essentially, like, 1.5 keepers per exhibit because I was getting so frustrated with animals running out of food and habitats not being clean. And there are animals that can cohabitate. So you mentioned your exhibit that has ostriches and warthogs and zebras and giraffes and stuff in it. The more different types of animals that are in an exhibit, the harder it is for them to keep up with it.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating because I just wish that I could, like, up the level of care that a specific habitat needs.
Right.
You know? Because I had a similar habitat that had a bunch of, you know, African savanna herbivores in it. And to constantly, I would have food places, like food troughs all over this exhibit and different types of, you know, food enrichment. But the problem is that the keepers will go in and they'll fill up some of it, I guess, yeah, and then be like, oh, I guess that's good enough. And then nobody checks on it.
Right.
For a certain amount of time. And then because I have 40 animals in there, 40 different animals, they all eat it super fast because they're hungry because they ate all the food. And then the keeper doesn't come back soon enough to feed the rest of the animals. And like, that's the part where I really struggle is I feel like the higher level gameplay is so much more difficult to do that it's nearly impossible to have a successful zoo that is really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Which, I think just having a basic zoo where every animal type has their own habitat and, you know, like, cool. That's fine, I guess. But, like, when you want to build something that is really, really cool, it's increasingly more difficult. And not just from, like, a design standpoint, from, like, an actual management standpoint. And it shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things that detract from making that happen is you can only have one keeper gate per habitat.
Mm-hmm.
It's invalid for there to be two different doors to this exhibit. So if you want to make one huge habitat that has all of the African grassland things that can, you know, live together. Cohabitate. Yeah. The keeper's not going to be able to keep up with that because they can only go through this one door. And then, mm-hmm. So what, you're going to put all of the food stuff right over there so they can fill it all up and then leave and then go about their day? No. So then they're going to have to walk all over there. By the time they walk over there, this one's empty again. Well, guess what? Yes. They have to go back to the keeper hut to prepare to the food. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, regardless, you can assign 45 keepers to that exhibit, but it doesn't look at, like, the staff member timing, really. It looks at the habitat timing. So it's like, oh, we just had a keeper in here. 44 of you guys have the day off.
Right.
Like, go enjoy your time. Like, no, I need all of you in here doing stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, we should have a keeper in here 24/7. Like, let's go. You know?
Yeah, I got a notification last night that my aardvarks hadn't been visited by the vet in a while. And I'm like, well, what the heck? I have, like, a work zone set up for this and everything. It's just the aardvarks and the flamingos. And there's two vets assigned to that.
Yeah.
Why aren't you going over there? These are the most precious animals in the whole zoo. And so then I had to go in and I saw where you could change. Instead of the vet visiting every 6 months, they come every 3 months. I'm like, okay, well, so maybe there's something like that for the keepers too, but I feel like the keepers just go when they need to.
The keepers are automatically set to the lowest time, which is 1 month.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're automatically set to the lowest time by default. And still, like, when you get those really big habitats, it just, like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
You know? And the hard part is you can actively call a keeper. So you can do that. You can just set up an exhibit and then every once in a while you go in and check and you just, like, keep calling keepers to bring stuff in. Because I think, like, if there is something to be done there, they'll come in and refill whatever, clean whatever. But, like, regardless of whether or not there's something to do, if you just leave it alone, they'll only come on that schedule.
Right.
You know? And that's so frustrating to manage that part of the game when I feel like if you have enough staff, you shouldn't have to worry about making sure that your animals have enough food and that their habitat is clean.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if this is another setting that you can do in Sandbox. One of the other management aspects of this game that drives me nuts is the power management and then the water cleanliness management.
Yeah.
Why do I have to have a power source inside of my zoo for all this stuff? Why is my zoo an autonomous nation that provides its own power? Why do we exist in an electricity-less void? Like,
yeah.
I get the need to, like, because the types of energy you can provide, you can do solar, you can do wind, or there's like a generator as well. But like, I shouldn't, why? Am I just out in the middle of like Wyoming?
Yeah.
And the closest city is, you know, 80 miles away? Like, what is going, where's this zoo that I have to manage my power by like individual zones? Why do I have to have a power source for this section of buildings? Why do I have to do that, you know? And I wish that it like was similar to, City Skylines,
mm-hmm.
where you can have a power source, and then when things are close enough, it automatically like connects them up,
right?
You know, because to me that makes sense. Are you telling me that I built these buildings and I just said like, oh yeah, I know that these buildings are powered, but I'm not gonna run a power cable to these other buildings? Like, that does not make any sense to me. And it's super frustrating when you're trying to do like small things that need power. So I built this bonobo exhibit. It was pretty big around it. It was like on the edge of my part of the zoo that I'd built so far. And it had windows around the backside. So I had little educational screens back there. Well, guess what? None of them were powered because I didn't have a freaking power source over there.
Right.
So now, because I haven't built the zoo out over there, there's literally an exhibit with a sidewalk that goes around the back of it. And then just off of that are just like staff pass with just like a freaking solar panel at the end of it.
Yeah.
Why? Because I don't know. We don't know what power cables are, I guess. We're just only about wireless charging in this zoo. Like, it drives me nuts. And maybe, I don't know, I'll have to look it up. And I'm sure there's a mod for it. Maybe I should look into like mods for this game. But yeah, having to manage the power drives me nuts because I just don't understand it, especially because there are things that negatively impact the guest experience, such as seeing utility buildings, seeing staff buildings, which drives me nuts.
I'm sorry. That'd be pretty cool.
That ruins your experience because you can see people doing research. That ruins your experience because you know that my staff get a break. Like,
yeah.
That makes me so irritated. But one of the cool things is they do, when you put buildings around them and decorative stuff, it reduces the impact. So it does encourage you to build things.
That's
so
true.
When you have them like within a building, it basically reduces that radius to a negligible amount. So you could put it right next to a sidewalk and it wouldn't really impact the guest experience. But like, it's annoying that I have to power all of this crap, you know, meter by meter, essentially, but
yeah.
I don't know, it's going to negatively impact the guest experience. And then with the power thing specifically, the generator you can probably put in a building, but you can't put the solar or the wind
right.
items inside of a building, because obviously in real life that doesn't work, but in the game that also doesn't work. And it's like,
yeah,
just let me use modern technology, just let me use, not even modern technology, just let me use power cables, underground right. power cables, like literally modern civilization. In the wild. That drives me nuts so much.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Like, if you could just have an area where like, okay, here's where I'm going to put all my solar panels.
Yeah. You
know, and let electricity work how it does and travel all the way down all these buildings yes. throughout the whole park.
Use a power cable. Exactly.
Yeah. That would be cool. But
yeah.
I don't mind it that much, but I get your point, for sure.
Yeah. And just, like, the other big one, too, is with water treatment. The nice thing is that with, even with power and, you know, the water treatment stuff, you can put them inside of the habitats. But I feel like you have to have a path that goes to them, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, your mechanic has to get to it.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, I have to have this water treatment because they have radiuses for what they affect. So you have to make sure that your water treatment is close enough to bodies of water so your animals don't get sick. And then, oh, wait, what's that? Your water treatment also has to be powered. So you got to make sure that you have a power source that's close enough to it. Otherwise, it won't work. And yeah.
It's a very detailed game if you haven't caught on to that.
Yes.
It's like the most detailed game I've ever played.
Yeah. And again, it really comes back to just, like, you can do so much in the game that dealing with the minutiae of doing that is very tedious.
Right.
You know? And I just feel like because it's so difficult to do that really cool stuff, it reduces the impact of the game for me. Because I don't get to experience, like, having this really cool zoo with all of these different animals, with these cool habitats. Because in order to do that, you have to invest dozens and dozens of hours into that. Like, in my opinion, it probably takes close to 2 hours to create a really cool habitat and, like, guest zone to go with that. You know? And to, like, get it where your animals are really enjoying it, setting up the different education stuff, making sure it's in a work zone, making sure you have the staff for that. Like, just to do one really good exhibit takes like 2 hours. So if you want to do a couple of them, suddenly you're 12 hours into playing this game and you have 3 animals.
Mm-hmm.
And your pathways are clogged and you're dealing with power management. And then you don't have a staff room that's close enough. And like, I don't know, it's just a lot to deal with, and I don't know. I just wish it was easier to have a higher impact zoo without struggling the whole time, you know?
Yeah, I have 120 hours in this game, and I feel like I don't really have anything to show for it.
Yeah, exactly. I need to load up my original zoo and see how many animals I have in that, just because, like, I feel like it can't have been that many. You know?
Right. What all do you do for education? Because that's the part that I struggle with the most. I'm always pretty low starred.
I just put up the educational screens most of the time. And then sometimes I'll put a speaker. I did just do the tour. I did set up a tour that went around. And I do really like that. And then obviously the... not the TED Talk, the animal talk with the bleachers. The TED Talk. So I did just set up one of those, but both of those were new to me.
Yeah.
And then one thing I do really appreciate about the game devs is that they do add a lot of free updates to things. So one of the other new features that I really liked that they've added since the last time I played was the habitat webcams. I don't know if you played with those yet. Those are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So those increase your marketing, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's like per one webcam per habitat, but it is really cool because then you can set them up and you can control like where they're looking and stuff. And I think some of the things that make it a little bit more real world are really cool, but... again, it's very upsetting to be like, all right, I spent so long making this really cool habitat. I've got this webcam. I've got these educational talking points. And then you like kind of zoom back out of this one habitat. And you're like, well, that's my whole zoo.
There's that.
That's it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this zoo. And by zoo, I mean one single animal habitat.
Right.
And one drink stand. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wish it was easier to do bigger things in this game.
Yeah, without just going into sandbox mode and losing a lot of that management gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you want to get into our rankings?
Let's do it.
I feel like, I want to say before we get into the rankings, I feel like my rankings for this game are probably going to be higher than, if you're listening, what you expect them to be. Because
we were venting a lot.
Yeah, I do like this game. I just think it's very difficult sometimes.
It takes a lot more skill than we're used to, that's for sure.
Yes.
And then real quick before we get into those, this game's $45, $44.99. So it is a little bit more pricey than a lot of the games that we play. And then they have a ton of game packs for it to get different types of animals. They have like an Australia pack.
13.
Yeah.
Yeah. That includes the, like the deluxe expansion that gives you some additional animals that are, and like the soundtrack and stuff like that too.
Right. So. But those are pretty, those are $9.99 each. So pretty fair price.
You say it's a pretty fair price, but then the other day I was like, well, maybe I'll just buy all the expansions because, you know, I've already adopted all of these animals in the game. And then I was like, oh, there's 12 of them that I don't have. I don't really have $120 to spend on this game. Oh, I know, right now.
But typically but it does you don't go buy on all sale of them.
Pretty frequently.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then I have one, like, random complaint.
Okay.
So, when you load into the game on your main menu, you have your avatar, and then any of your Steam friends, their avatars will also be there. And there's two different body types. There's slim and, you know, rounder. So I obviously picked the rounder one. And there's only two hairstyles for the round avatar body type. And the slim one has six different hairstyles. What up with that?
That's... Why?
I know. Why can't I have all the different hairstyles? I was like, man, my avatar looks like a real Karen. I want to go change her. And I was like, well, I can have the Karen haircut, or I can have this, like, textured haircut. I'm like, what? And I was like, well, how do I get the ponytail that Mackenzie has? And, well, I have to change my body type.
That's so dumb.
I know. Anyway, random complaint.
But. That's wild. That's one of those things that I just feel like that's more work to do than to just let both body styles have both hairs or all the hairstyles. Like, yeah. That's weird.
Just don't have different body types. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird.
That is weird.
Anyway. Well, let's do controls first.
Okay, I said that these were probably going to be higher, but I put controls at maybe like a 3.
I was going to put a 3, and then as I was typing out my bullet points, and I got to the pathing part, and I was like, no, it's a 2. Pathing yeah. pushes it down to 2. It's just too difficult.
Yeah.
For something that shouldn't be.
Yes. Yeah, there, and again, it goes right back to when there is a lot of stuff to do, there's a lot of ways that you have to be able to manage it, but I just feel like it is not as intuitive, and especially because I was just playing The Sims 4 earlier this week or last week or sometime, and coming from a game that obviously deals a lot with building and three-dimensional movement and managing, you know, characters that are moving within that three-dimensional space that you've built, the controls are not good in Planet Zoo. And this one is, like, really weird and specific, but I hate the hotkey setup.
Oh, and yeah.
Mostly because of the time pausing and management. You know, like, I don't know. I think, and obviously The Sims has been around for a long time. They've had the same control setup for a long time, and we've been playing that for ages, so maybe it makes more sense because of that. But, like, I don't know. Having the pause button be P is very weird to me, because I feel like that's one of the most frequently used buttons on my keyboard. And so I just feel like, why would I need to move my hand all the way across my keyboard to pause and unpause the game when I'm using camera controls over on, like, the normal WASDA setup.
I mean, that's what it is in Sims, though, too.
You can use the tilde. Tilde, 1, 2, 3 for time management.
I always use P and then 1, 2, 3 to speed up time.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, even just, like, moving your camera around. It's... So, you can use WASDA. But usually I use, like, my mouse for that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. Maybe there's a setting for it, like the window scrolling, but, like, undo that, and, like, the right click doesn't really behave how camera operations normally kind of do in those games. I have to use the middle mouse button a lot.
Yes. Yeah, that drives me nuts. So, it's like, I think right click controls the pivot?
Yes.
Maybe?
Right. And instead of, like, moving.
Yeah, and then middle mouse controls, like, the up and down or something. Like, I don't know. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. I was struggling with camera controls when I started the game the other day. I was like, oh god, what's going on? Where am I?
Yeah, it's definitely the game I look at the help docs for the most.
Yeah. I'm going to leave mine at a 3, but it's a generous 3. Only because I'm giving it credit. Like, the controls are complicated because there's so much to do, you know?
Yeah.
But I think a 2 is also fair.
I give them a 2 because I can't make anything pretty, so. Okay.
Well, what's our next ranking?
Graphics?
I give this a probably like a 4.5. I want to give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I give it a 4. If you've played Planet Coaster, which I haven't, but like the people, like your customers, that's same style. But the animals look so good in this game. The hair texture, what is that called? Ray tracing.
Yeah.
That.
I think it's, and that's why I give it a 4.5. If my computer could handle playing it with everything turned up, I probably would think about giving it a 5. But again, it's like in that weird realm where it's copying real life in a way to where it's hard to be like,
right.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's why I gave it a 4, is because like the animals look really good, like really close to real life.
But then the people are really cartoony.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of a weird mix. Like, I understand why it's that way. But yeah. Also, all the baby animals are really cute.
So freaking cute.
Every time I get the notification, like, son is about to have a baby, I'm like, oh. And then I go and I watch them, like, so cute.
So precious.
Little baby zebras running around. So cute. And yeah, I mean, the potential to have this amazing, stunning zoo, it's there. It is possible. But yeah.
So much work.
Barrier to entry. Crazy. So story is one of our typical categories. I just put NA though. Like,
yeah.
There's not.
Yeah, it's a zoo builder game. Like, there is a campaign mode, but as with all things, the campaign is really like a really extended tutorial to help you learn how to play the more difficult parts of the game, you know, and like do more interesting things with the game. I wouldn't call it like a story.
Exactly. Okay. And then replayability. And then I'm just going to start calling this category /continue playability, which yeah,
I give this a 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
because there's obviously nothing that like, I don't know. You can start a new zoo.
Exactly.
You can, like, keep playing other zoos. Like,
do a renovation. Like, I really want to stick with this zoo that I started. Like, I think this has really revitalized this game for me, us having to play it for this podcast, because I hadn't played it in over a year, like you were saying. And now that I've been playing, I'm like, oh, I just want it to look good. And so I think I'm going to try to get this zoo, like, running good and get a bunch of different animals, and then I'll do like a renovation. I won't get frustrated and just start over. I won't do it.
Good luck.
I'm almost 30 years old. Now it's time to change how I play games.
Yeah. Time to reinvent my game playing self.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Man, well, do you have any other thoughts on Planet Zoo?
No, I like Zoo Tycoon 2 better, but I'm not gonna play a 25-year-old game, or however old it is, obviously, but...
Well, what about Zoo Tycoon 3?
Is there
a Zoo Tycoon?
Is none. Planet Zoo's all we have. And that's what I was gonna say. This really is the zoo management game on the market right now. There are other ones, but none of them really come close to what this one can do. And I feel like even what Zoo Tycoon 2 could do, like, they're all kind of a little off. So until, like, maybe, hey, we're getting A Wonderful Life remastered this year. Maybe we'll get Zoo Tycoon 2 remastered. That'd be great.
Well, you say that. This is really interesting. Well, in 2013, Microsoft Studios released a new Zoo Tycoon game developed by Frontier Development for Xbox One and Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And then it was released in 2017 for PC.
Yeah.
So, but Frontier
it's not good, though.
Planet Zoo.
Oh, it has awful reviews. Yeah, I've looked into that.
Oh, no.
Because
the
zoo management games are one of my all-time favorite types of games.
Yeah.
So I'm always, you know, on the hunt.
I feel like it cannot be Zoo Tycoon 2 that I'm thinking of where you clean up after the animals. I thought that it was Planet Zoo where you did that, but I must be crazy. I don't know. Maybe it was Zoo Tycoon 2, but I just feel like it was more recent for me than that.
Maybe. If it is in this game, I'll have to find it because I would love to do that.
Well, when I Googled it a minute ago, we were talking about it when you said that that wasn't in this game. Like, same thing. It looks like it's just a mod. Like, you can download a mod for it. But I'm like, I haven't downloaded any mods for this game. I don't think. So. Oh, no. It's just crazy just imagining it. Yeah.
Just imagine picking up poo, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Don't do enough of that in your normal life.
God, yeah. With all these freaking animals in my house.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I think that's all of our thoughts about this game.
Yeah. Which,
despite our complaints, I think we do like the game enough, you know? I just think it's a lot.
Yeah.
No. It can be underwhelming.
It is a really good game. I think I just needed to vent because I'm not good at it right out of the gate.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, we get frustrated because we're not good at it yet.
Yeah. If I'm not good at something immediately...
Despite having combined over 200 hours in this game, we're not good at
it. I'm not.
Oh, man.
One day.
Well,
maybe we can revisit at the end of the year and see if, you know, we've gotten better. Yes.
Well, I want to eventually, maybe during, like, the summer sale or something, I'll buy all the expansions. Because I think, like, just one final complaint about the game is I think I was disappointed with the number of animals in the initial release, and I don't think I'm the only person. I feel like I saw that a lot when the game came out, and they have done a lot of expansion packs that are really cool, but it's a lot of money, you know, to add just a couple of animals, because I think like each pack is like five, I don't know, not a ton of animals.
I don't know. But, I feel like they're pretty good value for what you get.
But I just haven't bought any of them yet. So I think that will really kind of like revitalize my interest in the game. Because I feel like at this point, I've done a lot of like the big, really interesting animals. And so now I'm kind of like, well, I already did Siberian tigers. Like, what else is there?
Yeah, see, you know? And I never get to that point. I'm like, well.
Oh, I start off there. I'm like, let's get something big and flashy, and then we'll get something small to kind of, like, supplement the zoo.
I don't have the conservation points for it. Because a lot of those bigger ones you can like only buy with conservation points.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's true. That is true.
We'll revisit at the end of the year. Maybe show off our zoos.
Yeah, that's what we should do. Maybe we'll have a stream and we'll look at our zoos.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And if you guys, you know, have any thoughts about Planet Zoo,
please let us know.
Yeah, share with us on social media. If you know anything that could help us play this game better, share any helpful tips that you have. We would love to be good at games one day.
You want to share some pics of your cool habitats? We can use the inspiration.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you on our next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.